Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And I hadn't even heard of today's movie.
Ooh.
And I really love that on this podcast when I just get to discover movies that I hadn't heard of before. It's very fun.
There are just so many movies. It always blows my mind when I go on a streaming platform to decide on a movie to watch for the night, a task that takes sometimes more often than not, I completely give up and I watch something I've already seen or nothing at all.
Yep.
But there are just so many movies.
It's wild.
It's really wild.
Honestly, mm-hmm. It's incredibly overwhelming, but
it's incredibly
it can also be fun. I think it's supposed to be fun.
Sure.
But then if you start thinking too
hard
about it.
You can't tell me how to feel.
People ask me that all the time. If I tell them about this podcast, they're like, oh, are you worried about running out of horror movies to talk about? And I'm
nope.
Like, we have a listener request list that's like 200 movies long.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, it's pretty. And they keep making more.
Easily. Yeah.
Freaking movies all the time.
They're too many.
There's too many movies that I have heard of. Can we start on the movies I haven't heard of?
Yay. But I know at one point we were trying to find a good term for housekeeping for like little
blowing up the basement.
Someone said blowing up the basement. Someone said saging the space.
Smart.
Someone like sent us that, which I liked.
I was just going to go simple and say haunted housekeeping.
Cute.
Wow. And that's you know
adorable.
What? And that's why you're here. God damn it. This is why we need Sammy.
Genius mind at work
among
again.
Other things, obviously.
We just keep it simple. Haunted housekeeping.
Just like the amount of movies in the world, the list of reasons why we need Sammy, infinite and never ending. But haunted housekeeping is perfect. And
we'll move forward with that. Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to say a quick happy birthday to our dear, sweet, silent Jenna. We are recording this on her birthday. And she was our, started the podcast with us, our fourth member of our coven.
Silently present for every recording.
Is she here right now? You'll never know.
You'll never be able to know when she is and when she isn't. But in a way, she always is, you know?
Yep. Oh, happy birthday. She's 136 today. It's crazy. I miss her. I miss her so much. And if you guys want a little experience with Silent Jenna talking, you can listen to her Final Destination episode.
This is true. That's right.
Convinced her to talk at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, that was it. I just wanted to say happy birthday because we love her so goddamn much.
Yep.
But other than that, did anything scary happen to us this week?
Just real quick, the scary thing that happened to me this week is that I confronted the fact that I really need to start fucking exercising, you guys.
That's a tough one to confront.
How did you confront it?
I guess, honestly, the confrontation is happening here in this moment as we speak right now.
Okay.
I need help. Like, I really need to start exercising because my anxiety is like through the roof.
Yeah, it helps with that.
The only way to counteract that is to move your body. And somehow I cannot force myself to do it.
It's hard.
Start small. You do 10 to 15 minute workouts on YouTube, just in your living room.
I hate working out in my house, though. That's the thing, is I hate it more than anything.
And that's why it's also hard in the summer, because it's hot.
Give it a try. Worst thing, you waste 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's true. It's setting that bar low is it's better to do something for 10 minutes every day than an hour once a week.
That's a really okay. I think I need to. All right. Here's something that I want to do. I just want to start writing some mantras on Post-it notes and then putting them around like an insane person. But one of them can be that. But I want some. Okay. Here's what I really want is I want some people to reach out and send me some Spotify playlists of some top 40, some fun pop songs that you like to maybe run to.
Oh, that's right. You like to run.
You want to send me some gear, like some headphones that excite you for running. Because I do like to run. I do actually enjoy it when I'm like,
yeah,
in
that's
it.
Wild but to me.
That's absolutely insane. I can't fathom it. I truly can't.
Starting it up again, though, is not easy. Not fun. I'm thinking about just signing up for like a race and then forcing myself to do it or something like that.
Seems like the opposite of starting small.
Well, the race could be, you know, in a long time.
And it could be a 5K.
Yeah, 5K, exactly.
Just as far as races go, pretty small. As far as me running goes, furthest I've ever ran in my life.
That's still pretty tough. Yeah.
I'll sign up for like a turkey trot around Thanksgiving.
Perfect.
There you go. Plan on the turkey trot. Just sort of mark
turkey
it in your brain.
Turkey trot is such a funny name. It sounds so stupid.
It is stupid.
But I think that's a good goal.
I don't know, guys. Wish me luck. I just want people out there to be sending me like luck.
It's hard, man. It's really hard. And it feels so good to do. It's like, I'm always glad to have done it. I never want to do it, but it's so obviously good to do. It's like, so there's like drink water and exercise are like, it's like, duh.
I'm like, why am I depressed? Like, why am I so anxious? Like, why am I like spiraling out of control? Like, what's up with my mental health? And then I'm like, right, water movement. Just do that.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible. But I wish you luck. I send you luck.
It's either that or Alexa Pro prescription.
Subscription.
Subscription Alexa Pro. Okay, what about you guys?
I, this week or yesterday, went to a movie in the movie theater and cried so hard that I soaked through my mask.
Oh,
which
wow.
I haven't had that experience before. I've certainly cried a lot in a movie theater before, but this was the first time since wearing masks in the theater, and it was just so
gross, like soggy.
It was really gross. Yeah, there was also like snot.
gross.
Snot coming out of my nose, God, and then that absorbing. Ugh. But COVID cases are really high in LA right now, and I'm about to go to a wedding. And they still haven't had it. And so I'm like, I got to keep my mask on. But it's just like,
did you bring a spare?
I did not have a spare.
Oh, gross, boy, gross, oh, boy. Gross.
So I just had this fucking nasty mask. Ew, it was really gross. But
the movie
was so good. It's a documentary called Fire of Love. It is about these two volcanologists, this couple that study volcanoes, and it's all made from their footage, weeks. They filmed and documented everything.
Whoa. I saw you post about this and I'm shocked. It's a documentary like that. I can't believe that's real people doing that.
Yes, it's shocking.
Tim can't stop talking about this movie.
Did he see it?
No, he hasn't seen it, but he can't stop talking about it.
Between this movie and that NASA photograph that just came out the galaxies, I think that's mainly what led to my weeping is just the...
How tiny we are.
The overwhelmingness, yeah, and how minuscule we are in the grand scheme of things and how nature is just so... It just takes your breath away, you know? It just is truly incredible.
Yeah.
And it'll be here so much longer than we will be. It's been here so much longer. And volcanoes, I've never even like really thought twice about volcanoes.
I don't think about them a lot, no.
And I was shocked at how fascinating they are, how terrifying and beautiful they are.
So terrifying. I recently... did think about a volcano because I don't ever think about them, but Joel and I went through a phase where we really this is a show that people watch. It's just very weird that we watched it, which is the CNN Stanley Tucci Italy series.
I've seen every episode of it.
People love that show.
Thank you. We watched it and we loved it. Stanley Tucci, a funny guy, sometimes not on purpose, but we really enjoyed watching Stanley Tucci just be Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
In Italy, anyway, he's in like Pompeii.
Does he speak Italian? I feel like that's something that's weird about the show.
He's
like
fluent.
He's like trying to speak Italian and you can tell he's like not very good at it.
He's not very good at it, but he is very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a fun show. But they're in Pompeii, and I was just like, if you live somewhere where a volcano could erupt and kill you, when that starts to happen, there's literally nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You can't go up. You can't go away. It like blew my mind how much it's just like, well, we are about to die. No, there is no, unless you can get immediately like up in a helicopter, like you're done. And that's insane to me.
Cause there's very little warning. Yeah. It talks about that and talks about, trying to evacuate people in time, but it's just, and I don't know, most of this takes place in the 90s. And so I don't know what progress has been made since then. But basically at this time, they have had absolutely no way of predicting when volcanoes will erupt. I kind of think
they
still
sort of better at. Well, I feel like every now and again, they'll be like, it seems like this one's going to go soon.
Can't they predict earthquakes like 5 minutes before? I think it's just a window that's really small and not super helpful. But. Yeah, highly recommend it. Bring a spare mask.
Oof.
And wow. Yeah, get ready to really cry. It's very beautiful. Very beautiful film.
See, that makes me, and whenever you tell my movie's going to make me really cry, I go, I'll never see that.
That's how I feel too.
It's so funny because I always think of it as such an endorsement. And yeah, I forget that some people, crying's my fucking favorite thing to do.
I do love crying, but I don't want to know when it's going to happen.
Me either. Yeah. I
love
be surprised
crying
by, it.
By surprise. Yes, exactly. If I go into something being like, this is gonna make me cry, I'll be like, no.
Yeah. You know?
But when crying happens to me, I lean in.
Yeah.
All right, Emily, bring us back from the volcano.
I'm going to bring you back from the volcano. My check-in has absolutely nothing to do with volcanoes, but the scary thing that happened to me does sort of, it felt like related to just how small we are and how our lives are but one moment on this earth. And that is to say, I recently made a decision to go back to school.
Woohoo!
And I started school this week. I'm a student.
Yay. Oh my God.
We're so proud of you.
Thank you. I never thought I would go back to school. I never ever thought that I would do that. And then the pandemic happened and I rethought like so many of my life choices and I just really sat with what I want to do with my life and decided to go back to school. So I started school this week and I'm very excited. It's a really crazy feeling to be back at school and to be back at school in my 30s where most of my peers are much younger than me. And and I thought that would be kind of horrifying, but I'm actually loving it. It's like so... Let me tell you, when was the last time you met a 19-year-old?
Never. Since I was 19.
I'm having a really great time they're just also lovely and like fresh to the world. And I did one at one point have to Google some Gen Z slang moments after someone talked to me. She paid me a compliment and I didn't know what it meant, and I had to Google it because it was like terminology that I'm completely unaware of.
Tell us the compliment.
It was, she looked at she was on my Instagram. She looked at she pulled up a photo and she went, "Oh, you ate." And I was like, what? I knew it was a compliment, but I turned my phone away. She couldn't see that I was Googling. Like, I like held it so close as if I was like doing something like very, you know, dirty. Just because like, you don't know that, you please don't find me out that I'm like not cool.
So you Googled it and it's definitely a phrase.
It's a phrase. I Urban Dictionary'd it.
Okay.
And it means like, ooh, check you out. Like you did great.
Okay.
I'm 1,000 years old.
At first I thought maybe she said, you're an 8.
Honestly, I would take that compliment. Thank you so much.
Which similarly would be like, thank you, I think. I don't know.
What is this? It's pretty high. It's pretty high. Pretty high. It's pretty high out of 10. Pretty high number. But it's really cool. And let me tell you what, the experience of like feeling your age in a really good way, like understanding what 30 years on this earth have given you, and just being like, oh, I actually like know how to do things and I know who I am in a way. Because I so often feel not grown up at all. Like, I think about the fact that by the time they were my age, my parents had 2 kids and careers and like were like settled into their lives. And I'm like, well, I'll never be an adult in any sort of tangible way. And then you hang out with children and you're like, oh my God, I'm an adult. Wow, that's so cool. I have some shit figured out. And also just being able to go to class, learn, come home to my home with my things that are nice and good, and my partner who's also an adult, and like open a nice bottle of wine is just like, okay, yeah, this is cool. This is good. It's an exciting experience.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good to hear, because I, just like you said, I'll always think that I'm just permanently a child, and in a way we all are. But that's great. And I'm going to reap the benefits of you having that discovery and just say that it also applies to me. Learn that lesson through you.
It does apply to you. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee it.
Well, we're so proud of you, Emily.
Thank you.
And so happy for you.
Thank you.
Should we talk about this week's movie?
Let's,
we absolutely
do
should. Okay, this week's movie is My Best Friend is a Vampire.
Sounds right up our alley.
I know. Came out in 1987, directed by Jimmy Houston, written by Tab Murphy, starring Robert Sean Leonard, Evan Morand, Cheryl Pollock, Cecilia Peck, David Warner, Paul Wilson, and Renee Auberjonois.
Ooh.
Hope I said that right.
I liked it.
And it is available to rent for $3.99.
Fabulous. Well, I'm also so excited that we have a guest with us this week to talk about this movie. Pick this movie that none of us had freaking heard of. Cannot wait to hear his perspective. He is a musician, a writer on the hit NBC show Grand Crew, a podcast host of fellow HeadGum podcast Gossip Kings. We are so thrilled to have him. Welcome, Lamar Woods.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Lamar?
Hi, Lamar.
So good to see y'all. How y'all been?
So good.
We're doing great, Lamar. How are you? Did anything scary happen to you this week?
Oh, man. So every day is terrifying. I guess the scariest thing, I used to have night terrors when I was a kid.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I have one the other day. I've been watching this show Search Party. I don't know why.
Search Party.
And this tells you my relationship with scary movies, actually. Very lighthearted sitcom. But I don't know. There's a character in Sheriff's Party who was kidnapped, or they think she's kidnapped or whatever. And then I like fell asleep and like she like broke into my house. That character broke my house and then like tied me to the bed. And I was like, I couldn't move. And then I was like, you know how you get like paralyzed?
Is it Chantel?
Yeah, Chantel. So she like tied me to the bed and I couldn't get out. I was like, it was like the first time where I like woke up like screaming, like where I was like, help me, somebody help me. Like, you know, you're like, I can like, and like you transition into like
yes,
aliveness. It was really scary. I had to like stay up at rest of the night. It was so scary.
Oh my God.
That's so scary. Also, Lamar, do you live alone?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because yes, man, imagine somebody living with you hearing that. It'd be terrifying, yeah. But it's also really terrifying to scream that and wake up and not have anybody there.
I always wonder how loud it is, the screaming from the, if I was like sleeping with me, what would that sound like?
Yeah. Right.
I used to babysit a kid who had night terrors when I was in high school, and it was loud enough to hear. I mean, I was aware when it was happening for sure. I wasn't asleep because I was babysitting, so obviously I had to be awake.
Yeah, kids get them, and there's nothing you can do like as a parent. And I bet this is true as an adult too. Like, you can try to wake them up, but that actually makes it worse.
I think you're
apparently.
Not supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to actually wake someone up. I don't know.
Ugh.
Wow.
That's terrifying. That is terrifying.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I wanted to see somebody about it, but then I was like, they're going to make me confront my fears or something. I don't know.
No thanks. Oh.
I'll just deal with it.
I woke up laughing once. It was so funny.
That's fun.
I laughed so hard in my dream that it woke me up and I woke up laughing. And just so you guys know what the dream was, it was a cat dancing on his hind legs.
Oh, wow. That is hilarious.
It sounds fake. It sounds like you can't be real.
I'm definitely going to have that exact dream tonight.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. Let's all dream that. I reminds me of, to tell a story of something that didn't happen to me, but did happen to Joel one time. He was screaming in his dream and he woke up. Sorry, make me laugh so hard. He woke up going, oh, like that was as much as he was screaming in real life. Wow. Oh God.
So maybe that's how loud you're being too.
Yeah, maybe it's really quiet.
Maybe it's really, really quiet.
Yeah.
Wait, what time was it also? You said you had to stay up the rest of the night.
It was like 3:30. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was like a real nightmare. Like, I had to like throw water on my face. I was like, classic nightmare.
Yeah. Oof.
It was kind of cathartic though. Like just like feeling fear like that. But
yeah, sometimes I feel like feeling any emotion strongly does let it out a bit. You release something.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't want it to happen again.
No, I don't want that either.
I hope
for
it doesn't.
You.
We're sending you luck as well for not having that.
Yeah, I had to take a break from Search Party. I'm gonna get back on it. It's an amazing show. I think it's
really it is
funny.
Really good.
Okay, so I feel like you maybe already kind of answered this, but how do you feel about horror movies?
Oh, I hate them. I hate scary movies. that's why I picked this movie. But
great.
Yeah, I actually wasn't allowed to watch scary. I grew up really religious, so I wasn't allowed to watch movies with demons or witches or any kind of like element of the evilness.
Okay.
And then so when I became an adult and I was allowed to watch scary movies, I feel like I
was no tolerance.
Everything was just, I was just too sensitive to like anything. So yeah, no, I have no interest in them. I have a lot of interest in people who like scary movies. I find it fascinating that they like it, but
I know I can't fathom how people are like not scared. Like some, like I am getting braver as we do this podcast. I can like understand how you build up a tolerance, but people who are just straight up like, oh yeah, that nothing I see in a movie scares me and I can just watch anything at all. I'm like, how? Our brains must be so different.
Well, it's also the people who like the feeling of being scared. They're
that's
like,
true
really
too.
Enjoy it.
I was going to say, it's what we were just talking about, that cathartic feeling of being scared in a controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
And also for me, sometimes I feel like, and this is true of very sad movies as well, it's like makes me feel like, oh, things aren't that scary in my life. Things aren't that sad in my life. Is that mean to do? But it's like I'm
no, I think that's like healthy.
I like sad movies. I like that kind of thing. Oh, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. Like maybe it's like putting myself, because I do feel that way. My movies are the one thing I do when I'm like depressed is watching.
Yeah, it lets you like put that emotion. It's like externalizing it in a way, which maybe isn't healthy. I don't know. I haven't thought this through enough, but I feel like that is a little bit what's happening with me, is I can place some of my emotions on this movie and like let them go.
I think that sounds healthy. I also don't know, but
that's really beautiful.
I think that sounds healthy.
It's really beautiful.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so Lamar, what's the scary... Is there a movie that you saw that like really traumatized you at any point in your life?
Let me think.
Have you ever gone to like a theater with friends, or you've just always turned down that invite?
I went to see Scream in the theater. Mm-hmm. I found that pretty fun. I can handle sometimes when it's not too gross. Like I like who killed me kind of thing.
A little whodunit, mystery aspect to it is fun.
I describe those as horror movies that want you, the viewer, to have a good time. Like I can also sort of do those that are like,
absolutely. Yeah.
They're not trying to destroy you.
Yeah. I can't think of one. Yeah, like maybe Jason or Freddy Krueger. That's just like, I remember seeing that, not in a theater, but I remember watching a little bit of it, trying to see it, just to be aware of that cultural phenomenon. And then I was like, oh, this is disgusting. I don't like this. I was like, why is this a thing?
I mean, yeah. I think it's okay to know that about yourself and to not watch those movies. I think that's totally fine.
I want to, though, as a filmmaker, because I feel like I got approached to write scary movies
from film
companies, and I like want to be able to do it, but I just can't do it. Because I was like, oh, I want to have an appreciation for it, because it definitely feels like there's an art to it, or like some sort of art to what they're doing.
Well, we got to tell you, I think from 3 years of doing this podcast, you do get braver. So you can just force yourself for 3 years.
Force yourself through it.
And you'll feel slightly braver.
Yeah, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, those night terrors would come back for sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I try to watch cartoons before I go to bed now. Like, I try to like clean
my
palate.
Yeah, you need a palate cleanser. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's important. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us your relationship with this movie. The first time you saw My Best Friend is a Vampire.
Oh, yeah. I think this was just one of those movies that was on TV one day. Like, you know, like I love 80s, 80s comedies, this era of 80s comedy, like Can't Buy Me Love. Well, I guess I like that one. I feel like they have a certain energy to them. So when I see it, I know what it is. So I like probably just saw it and I was like, I'll watch this. And then I was like, oh, this is like kind of funny, and it made me laugh. And then I was like, cool, I like this movie. And then it would come on all the time and I was watch it every time it came on.
Yeah.
not scary at all.
No, it's not too scary. Yeah. I think most people could handle it. I think everybody. I'm trying to think if there's even...
Everybody! Every single person!
Yeah.
Would you call it a horror movie, Sam?
It says horror on the IMDb. It is tagged. I think just because of the presence of vampires, it gets awarded, labeled.
Do you think, since you said everyone could watch this movie, do you think there's anyone on Earth who's really scared of vampires? Just like the
genuinely scared
of vampires. There's gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're real, right?
So they probably couldn't watch this movie.
The vampires are real.
This movie is making a lighthearted version of this.
Yeah, there's parts in Twilight that are probably scarier than this movie.
There are parts of Twilight that are scary. I'll come out and say it.
Oh yeah, Twilight it could be a little scary. Yeah, mm-hmm. But vampires are always in the world of monsters. Like vampires were never too scary to me. I guess, well, they were more like sexual. Like,
I think, because they're so sexy and cool.
They're so sexy.
Sexy and cool.
They were kind of scary in True Blood. They were a little scary in True Blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that checks out.
I think they're also pretty sexy in True Blood.
That's sort of the whole point, right? Yeah. Well, which one's more?
They're hypersexual in True Blood. And I want everyone to know that I watched the pilot episode with my mom, and I don't recommend doing that.
It has a very intense sex scene in that pilot.
The most intense sex scene I've ever seen in my life. I was just sitting there with my mom in our living room, just like, well, are you going to say something? Or am I going to say something?
So I'll just pretend this is normal.
But I love vampires. I think they're funny and interesting and cool. And I love a vampire movie. So I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited for this.
Well, I will tell you that there is not a lot of information about this movie as far as trivia. There is no Rotten Tomatoes score, no Metacritic score. It has 6 on IMDb.
Okay.
No budget available. Box office, $174,380.
Very specific.
Not a lot, not a lot.
Not a lot. Especially, I think the budget, it doesn't look like, you know, huge budget or anything, but there's a lot of car stunts and car chases and car crashes. So I feel like
those aren't cheap.
Just car chases alone must have cost a good amount. And no trivia, really. And there's also no trailer. Isn't that crazy?
What?
No, there is. I saw a trailer. I watched on YouTube. I saw one.
You did?
I thought I did because I watched the trailer before I recommended it to y'all because I wanted to make sure.
Okay, can you find it? I looked and I couldn't find one.
Let me see.
Oh, it's because on YouTube it says I was a teenage vampire trailer. That's a different title, but it is the right movie.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it was. I was a teenage vampire in 1987. Okay. That's crazy.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Well, let's watch this trailer then.
Every teenager has problems. But when Jeremy Capello looked in the mirror, he knew things were not quite normal.
The mirror's not working.
They say older women are different. He just wanted to find out how. At last, a movie you can sink your teeth into. So you think you have problems?
I'm so confused about this title situation.
I know. Yeah. What is that? I guess maybe it was called that and they changed the title.
I know. I'm looking up right now. I was a teenage. There's a movie in 1957 called I Was a Teenage Werewolf. Oh, my God. There's another movie called I Was a Teenage Zombie.
Well, both seem correct.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to see this movie. Like,
me too.
Immediately.
It looks super fun.
Yeah. It looks so fun.
And you saw, you got a taste of some of those car chases.
I gotta wear shades.
From watching the trailer now, it did look kind of scary. Or like some of this vampire stuff was scary.
It it looks like it has like some scary moments in it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also looks a little bit horny. Looks like the whole, I mean, you'll tell us, but the whole ordeal starts with him having sex with an older woman, it's which very, is like okay.
Horny. It's like it has that angsty 80s like horniness to it. Like,
yeah.
They just talk about having sex constantly.
Love it.
I feel like they're really going for like, okay, so people like risky business. Okay, so he's, it's sort of like a brown-haired white boy with sunglasses.
And they even mention Tom Cruise by name in this film.
They do,
Yes, you
know. Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we gotta be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top quality award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes, variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try.
head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
No, I'm going to love it.
Should we dive in?
I think we absolutely should.
All right. So we start off with as a teenage boy, and it opens with this dream, like, which is crazy. Speaking of dreams, like, yeah, I guess I wouldn't call it a nightmare, but it was just like a nice.
Was this before or after your night terror, this dream, this dream sequence? Because maybe it added into it.
This was definitely after. It definitely reminded me of it. Mm-hmm. So it was the first thing that popped up when you asked me what my scariest thing all week was. But they, he's dreaming. He has this. So there's these two girls. I kind of like how I like characters when they're like supposed to be nerdy, but they're not too lame. Like he's still like a cool guy, but he's just like the nerdy guy. And then so he has this one girl that's like really attractive girl who's like into him in high school. And then it's this other girl,
the hot cheerleader.
Yeah. And then there's like another kind of like band girl who's like a little more quirky and weirder. And he's like really likes her more. And then that girl takes him to the girl's locker room. It's crazy.
Ooh.
She takes him into the shower and they're about to have sex. And then it's like, she turns in this, the quirky girl turns into a vampire. This woman who is a real vampire in real life. And then he's like, what the fuck? This is crazy. And she disappears. And then all these girls are like, what the fuck are you doing in the locker room? And then a nun comes in and castrates him.
What? With scissors.
It was so funny. And then he wakes up and then he's like, first thing he does is like grab his dick to see if he's still there. thank God, my dick is still here. So then he's telling his homie about it, who's kind of like a, like, you know, perverted, like sex fiend.
The main guy's name is Jeremy and his friend's name is Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph is a sex fiend.
For reference. Yeah. Ralph is horny as hell.
Got it. Copy that.
Yeah. He's horny. He's like, you gotta have sex. You gotta have sex, 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 sex. And then the other guy's kind of like a sweet guy or whatever. He's like, I want to get to know women first or whatever. So I think he's kind of like an 80s version of a Instacart delivery guy.
Like, nice.
Delivers groceries to people's houses.
Yep.
Which I found very delightful.
That's great.
Also, like his parents are hilarious. That when he leaves the house, his dad always isn't looking at a newspaper every time you see him. So he's like always reading a newspaper.
Yeah, there's a joke of how he doesn't remember what his dad looks like because he's just always behind the newspaper. He's like a very sweet kid and just has good vibes.
Good family. Yeah,
good family.
Even though his family is like, at work. Like mildly homophobic.
Oh yeah. I'd say more than mildly.
Oh, interesting.
They have like a lot of concerns. Basically, okay, what happened after that? So then he's delivering groceries, but he's super excited because most of the customers are old ladies, but this is the first time. It might be somebody young and cool or whatever, but it's in this old abandoned mansion up in the hill. And it turns out to be this really hot, like a woman who is like, has vampire vibes immediately.
Mm-hmm. In a spooky abandoned mansion, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, he didn't question that at all. He was just like, yeah, you just live here alone. And she's like, yeah, I really like you. I would love to sleep with you later if you want to come back.
She comes on strong, yeah.
Really strong.
Just sort of normal woman stuff.
Yeah, and then Jeremy's like, oh my God. And he kind of leaves and tells his horny friend Ralph about it. And Ralph is like,
something she does in this scene that was a little shocking to me. He comes in and there's a cat there at first and the cat scratches him. And then she comes down and is like, oh, Nora's a little scared of strangers and sees that he's bleeding and her eyes light up at the blood on his finger.
Did not catch that.
And she grabs it and is like saying, I can, you know, make it better for you or something. and sticks his finger in his in her mouth and just starts sucking it. And it's so it's so like aggressively sexual, and he just has no idea what the how the fuck to respond. He's so overwhelmed by how strong this lady's coming on. He's like, my mom usually puts band-aids on them.
Yeah. I didn't realize there was blood on it. I remember her sucking his finger, but I totally forgot. I didn't even catch the blood part of it, which makes so much more sense now.
Yeah.
Well, if Twilight rules are to be believed, that's very difficult, that self-control.
Yes.
So she's a strong, strong ass vampire.
Really strong.
Oh, yeah. And she's so he's like trying to decide if he should come go back or if this is like super weird or whatever. Then he's but he's like, you know, had not really having sex. So like the Ralph is kind of like, you should go have sex. And then they're having this conversation in the cafeteria. And then all these girls are in the table next to him because he's like Jeremy's kind of like, you know, like being very having a lot of anxiety about it. He's like, I don't know, this is kind of weird. I don't think I should do this. And then all these girls are like, just do it, nerd. they just sent him to his grave. But like, he's like, okay. So he goes to the house.
Ralph gives him a ride. Ralph is like, obviously you're going.
I actually kind of appreciate that Ralph was willing to do that. That was kind of a good friend. He was like, I'll stay in the car with you while you go.
Jeremy is in a suit and tie, which is very funny to me. He really dresses up for it. And also, I think important to note, she's the woman from his dream in the opening scene. And he's very thrown by that.
Okay, so he recalls that. He's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he's thinking of it in that moment as like a serendipitous thing. Less like scary.
It's a sign.
Like,
it's a sign.
Oh, this is meant to be or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they start making out, right? They get it in like pretty quickly, right? And then so these guys, my two favorite kids, this is Professor and his like sidekick, who are like vampire hunters. So they're like already pulling up to the house, watching this happen because they've been watching this Nora, the other the woman vampire, Nora is her name. And they're like, we're going to kill her basically. And they see the kid going and they're like, oh, is that a vampire too? So it's like, it's too late. Even if it is, it's too late. He's a goner too. These guys are like fanatics, like, they're kind of Looney Tunes, and the professor fat shames his sidekick constantly, which is cool.
What? And, the '80s are fucked up.
The '80s, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that character. That's also the character who got thrown out the window.
Oh yeah, it's like the '80s were a time of fat jokes and homophobic jokes. Like being gay is like the punchline a lot of times in this movie.
Oh, so funny! Oh my god.
Yeah. And then, that's a classic scene, the vampire scene where they're about to have sex and she just fucking bites his neck. Man, it looked like it hurt.
Oof.
He doesn't act like it hurt, though.
Okay, that's what my question is.
Does he think, because he's a virgin, right? So is there not a virgin? Like, I guess this is sex. He's not a virgin.
Yeah, but his story didn't add up. The story he said, he's like, yeah, I had sex on camp. Like, it was like some like random.
Like maybe he's lying.
I think he's just trying to, Sammy,
I think he's lying.
But I don't know. That's interesting. But I don't know if there was like a virgin element to why she wanted to like seduce him though. But you're right. He didn't. When he got bit, he thought it was more like, whoa, she's sex. Like it was like more.
She's
like,
freaky.
Like,
this woman's intense. Yeah. Oh, she's freaky.
Yeah, he didn't pick up on the fact that she was trying to suck his blood out. And then they come in the professor and his sidekick. Do you remember? I'm bad with names. Can you tell me that?
Professor, we can just call him Professor. The other guy's name is Grimsdyke, which is very funny. I feel like it's
Grimsdyke.
It's like reminds me of fairy tales. What are those fairy tales called?
Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah. Okay, well that's it. That's why it reminds me of that.
That's probably why. Because it's the same.
Or like Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah, it's like a ridiculous name like that.
Yeah, it's just a very silly name.
And then he runs out. Jeremy runs out of the house. The professor and Grimsdyke basically kill Nora.
Oh shit.
We don't see it, but it seems like that's what's happening.
And Jeremy also thinks like he doesn't know that that's what's happening. He assumes that it's her husband or somebody coming home, and because they basically just come in and starts happening. People are yelling, and he just runs the fuck out of there. So he assumes it's the husband came home and is pissed. Right.
And so all that happened to him is he got yes. bit. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the assumption is probably that if they hadn't been interrupted, she would have sucked all his blood out and killed him, but maybe didn't get to finish.
Unclear,
that process.
Or like, okay. Yeah, at least.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, because the thing about this movie, they really try to like go against a lot of traditional vampire, like, yeah. I think, tropes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It could have that, or it could be just like she just wanted to turn him into a vampire.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing, well, we'll get to it later, but the interesting take in this movie is that these vampires are good people. And then the humans are actually being kind of like
the monsters.
They
like discriminatory against.
They're like being racist against,
like persecuting.
Them. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then he doesn't know he's a vampire. He just thinks the next morning he's like, I feel sick, you know, and his mom is like, you look so pale and stuff. And then he's like, I'm fine. I'm just not hungry or whatever. But he still goes to school.
At some point he sees a mysterious looking man watching him in a long trench coat just outside his window at one point. And so we kind of get that image of him lurking around.
Yeah. And he thinks it's like a cop because he thinks like, oh, so then he looked at. So in the morning, because dad is reading the newspaper again, which is like his funny bit, which I love. I love that bit. And then he goes, and he sees on the backside of the newspaper, Jeremy sees that the house he was at is blown to bits. They blew it up, the professor.
Oh, shit.
He's like, he thinks this cop is after him because he thinks that they might think that he has something.
He was at the scene of the crime.
Exactly, yeah. And he's trying to tell Ralph about it. And Ralph is like, man, it's fine. We're fine. Don't worry about it or whatever. He's doing that thing where he's being very dismissive of his.
So the woman you just had sex with, house blew up. Who cares?
When we were there.
Like, this is a serious problem.
So I drove you away in a getaway car. Whatever.
So after school, we got our first car chase. There are quite a few. And they recognize the professor and Grimsdyke drive this van, and they saw it the night before, and they recognize it out front of the school, or it's following them or something. Because the people, the guys in the van saw them get away and are now trying to pursue them to kill them because they assume they're also vampires and they're vampire hunters. So they're like, that's our next goal, is to kill this kid that escaped last night.
Right.
And so they're following them. A car chase ensues. They're like pretty crazy car chases. Each time I was like, damn, they're really fucking going for it in these car chases.
Yeah. And I like that Ralph is like not afraid to put this pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
He's like, let's go. And he like, the mom has this quirky thing she does where she listens to police radio. So he has like a police radio in her house. So she like knows when the cops are like doing speed traps and stuff. So earlier when he left the house, she told him there's a speed trap on Fountain and Industrial, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they remember. So the way they got away was like, they went to the speed trap and like parked, and then the van with the professor went too fast, and then the cops went after them. So that was very action-packed. I was on the edge of my bed. It was crazy.
Yeah.
They still don't know what's going on. They're just like, think it's like a husband trying to like mad.
Yeah, they just know it's not good, that whatever these people are after, they're stressing them out. They seem bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then he goes to work. Jeremy goes to work again at the grocery store and sees that same trench coat man and is trying to hide from him and looks up at the little convex mirror thing in the corner of the grocery store to see that he's gone and the coast is clear, but then walks out and he is right there. Maybe he doesn't have a reflection.
And then he sees Darla, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And he's like, hey girl, this is the girl that he has a crush on. And she's like, and he's like, help me. And then they go into the cooler to hide from this guy. And she's like, this girl is so funny to her because she thinks that like she thinks this guy is so weird because every time he sees that she sees him, he's doing something insane. But
yeah,
like,
he pulls her into like the back stock room and is like, "I'm being followed by this man." And she's like, "What the fuck is your deal?" Like, I don't see any man. I think he's gone by then, maybe. But she also, I just have to say, looks exactly like Mackenzie Davis and January Jones mixed together. If anybody, she's hot. And I just couldn't stop seeing those two actresses. So if anybody watches this, just know that that's what I was thinking the whole time.
I want to Google immature. Curious.
Interesting.
He gets away. I don't think he ever has a, or he doesn't talk to Trenchcoat Man yet. Trenchcoat Man leaves or something. And then he goes home and he's at this point getting really like disgusted by food and can't eat his breakfast, can't eat, drink his soda at school. And he's getting really hungry. And so he's home at night and he's trying to make a smoothie. He keeps saying like, "I think I need protein. I need protein."
It's a protein deficiency. That like, that's it. That's how he's like understanding this, what's happening to his body. And his dad is like, "What are you doing?" And then, he leaves, goes upstairs, and then Jeremy's like, "Man, he's putting like eggs in there, milk in the blender."
Ew.
But he's like, "This isn't enough. Something's missing." And then he goes in the fridge and he pulls out a raw steak, and he's like, he pulls all the blood and he drips the blood into the smoothie, and he's like,
"Ew!" He's wringing it like a washcloth too. The steak,
twisting all the blood out. And then he's kind of like freaking out because he's like, he wants to drink that shit, but he doesn't want to. He obviously thinks it's insane. So he runs upstairs, and then dad comes back down. And it's like, and he's like, "Ooh, this smoothie looks good." He takes this bit of it and he's like, "Oh, I didn't get sick," and then runs out. I love it. I love that scene.
I liked how the parents, I like how the parents are actually present in this film. Love I feel that. Like too often you don't get to see the parents. I want to know their reactions. I'm all here for it.
I love that. Yeah, they both were so funny. Yeah, they were so a part of the whole movie. Like, they were in every act.
Yeah. Then he goes back up to his room, and the man with the trench coat is in there.
Oh, boy.
And basically, he again is, like, thinking, "This is a cop." He's like, "I'll cooperate. I'll do whatever you want." And he says, "The woman you slept with was infected," I think is what the term he uses. And then Jeremy gets scared, thinking he has an STD now. He's thinking now he's from the health department.
Yeah, he's like, "But she seems so clean."
And eventually the man reveals, "No, like, she's a vampire."
Yeah, he does like slow burn in a way that
he
like
dances
insane.
Around it for a bit.
And then he's like, "Can you just," and then Jeremy's like, "Can you just get to the point?" And then he's like, "All right." And then he complains about the young generation, how he went everything instantly. And he's like, "I was trying to lead up to it." But then Jeremy has the right reaction of just being very upset about this, like, "No way, this is bullshit," like, he's really denying it. But this man has good intentions. He's trying to like help him, like, you know, adjust to the life of peace. And he gives him a book, right? A book about vamp. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of the, like, he was like, "This is your handbook. It's going to tell you what's happening to you and like a lot of the things that you're going to go through." And it was very sweet. Like, he was a very sweet guy.
Do we think that this man is a vampire?
Oh, he's definitely a vampire.
Yeah, because he didn't show up in the mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't show up in the mirror. Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Jeremy didn't show up in the mirror. I got confused.
No, the man, in the early scene, the man was in the mirror. I see. And then, but then Jeremy also has that same reveal too. He looks in the mirror and can't. And we saw it in the trailer when he goes. He's like, my reflection.
This mirror is broken.
This mirror's broken. That doesn't, that's not how mirrors work. It can't be broken. It doesn't have mechanisms in it.
I know. That would be rough. To me, like, I feel like if I looked in a mirror and I didn't see my reflection, my first thought would be like, I'm a vampire. Like, I wouldn't even think like,
100%.
The mirror's broken.
Especially because it's like, it looked like the mirror reflected other things.
Have you guys ever had when an automatic sliding door won't open for you? And I have like a moment of panic then of like, well, I'm invisible.
You don't exist.
I'm dead.
Yeah. I'm dead.
It does feel like somehow insulting. I feel like when like mechanical or like automatic things don't work for me, I'm like,
but hey,
yeah.
Like, feels like they're being rude to me.
The panic that sets in that so quickly. And also it's like the shame, the deep shame of it, where you're like,
it's like embarrassing. Especially if there's somebody else in the bathroom yeah. when you're like trying to get the sink and you have to be like, ah, it just doesn't, as if there's something wrong
the
with
the sink
you.
Is so annoying because sometimes it is just, it does just take 10,000 times of waving your hands and then it'll finally work. But sometimes they are broken. And so it's like, when's that perfect moment to be like, okay, time to give up on this one and move to the next one.
It's like, there's like just enough broken ones for it to like, yeah. you know, to genuinely be suspicious of it.
Yeah. <It's> like,
or the moment when you like move on and you go to the next sink and then someone else comes up and they're trying to get it to work and you have to be like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you have to like go through everyone. Everyone has to tell everyone else. those bathroom interactions. I dread them. Just get out.
Especially during COVID. I don't like talking to anybody.
No.
It's disgusting. Okay. So now he's like, all right, he's like really stressed out, right? So
the man's name is MODOK. He tells him his name's MODOK. And yeah, basically says like, I'm here to help you. I'm your mentor. And the mom hears them talking in the room and comes upstairs saying, Jeremy, I hear, is there a man in your room? And opens the door and MODOK is gone. And so she's, you know, thinks, okay, been imagining that. Good night. And outside of his window, we see a wolf howling and running away. And so the impression we get is that he turned into this wolf and jumped out the window. But there's a part also where Jeremy asks, can I turn into a bat? And he says, don't be ridiculous, which seems unfair. I feel like if you can turn into a wolf, doesn't seem that crazy.
Or is the wolf howling, a real wolf howling and running away because a vampire is there? Because wolves and vampires.
No,
again,
this is him.
Friends.
Because later we see more of this stuff. But also previously in Nora's house, we're kind of led to believe that Nora was also the cat because she first says that her cat Nora is scared of strangers and then later introduces herself as Nora. And he says, I thought that was your cat's name. And she says, oh, yeah, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So they just have some sort of transforming powers. Wolves, cats, but not bats. Don't be ridiculous.
Not bats. That's insane.
Yeah. And then there was a running joke where every time he would bring something up, and then the MODOK would be like, you haven't read the book. And then all this information is in the book. This is the first instinct of his mom thinking that he might be a homosexual. But she's like, oh, this man. He's like, there's a man in here. And now she's like suspicious. It's like very weird. Like, you know, like she's like a concerned mom. Like, oh, no, he might be like something, you know, like that kind of thing. But
yeah, she doesn't think vampire. She thinks he's gay.
Yeah.
She's
Yeah. The next morning, the parents see him talking to MODOK again. MODOK has driven up front in his car and like offers him a ride to school. And the parents watch him get in the car with this older man and are like, who is that man?
Honestly, a reasonable concern.
Reasonable concern,
and also go outside and ask. I feel like if your son, who is still a child, is getting in a car with he's a teenager, but still I would say, what the fuck is going on here? They're concerned for the wrong reason. Yeah. They're more worried that he's gay than he's being abducted, which would be my concern.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
And he explains to him because it's daytime and they're out in the day. And Jeremy says, you know, if we were vampires, wouldn't we not be allowed to be out in the day? And there's an explanation given here that I don't quite understand where he says, well, we're living vampires, not undead vampires.
Right.
Which
so that's what I was thinking. Like,
don't know that distinction.
Going back to Emily's first question, I feel like Nora may have never had that intention with him. Like, I feel like when you said that, made me think that, like, oh, maybe they just turn people into like living people into vampires just with a bite or whatever and don't suck their blood. Uh-huh. Because the other thing he says is like, you're going to want blood, but we, instead of drinking blood out of humans, we drink pig's blood from the butcher shop. So they like, these vampires are good people. Are they?
They're like the Cullens in that way.
It's interesting. It does feel like a metaphor for something. I don't know what was going on in that 1987, but they were saying like, there's been a lot of bad apples over the years who make vampires a bad name, but like we really are like, you know, just trying to, you know, just trying to live a life, you know.
It is confusing because it does have this metaphor of saying, you know, people are afraid of what they don't understand and we are persecuted.
Is it like for homosexuality?
Or
is
it for like AIDS?
HIV or AIDS?
Yeah.
Maybe it's AIDS.
But it is.
Yeah.
So at odds with the homophobia.
But then they're that's weird.
So I don't know. I think that it is trying to comment on that, but then it undercuts it by making these jokes of like, hope he's not gay, where it's like, okay, well, right. which message are we trying to say here? It's a little confusing.
But yeah, the luxury is that Jeremy finds out. So MODOK is like, how old am I? How old do you think I am? He's like, I don't know, 50. And he's like, this year I'll be celebrating my 200th birthday. And he's basically like, for every decade, a vampire ages 1 year.
Oh, so they do age. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting too. Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, he's name dropping all these people that he used to kick it with, like, you know,
Picasso,
like Mozart. And... Yeah.
But yeah, he's warming to the idea now. He's like, okay, like maybe I am. He's still not 1,000% convinced, but the signs are there. He is craving blood. He is turning more pale. He's getting more sensitive to light. So he takes the book and goes to school and they do a driving test. Ralph has to take a driver's test and we get crazy car chase number two. Again, that van starts pursuing them during this driving test.
That's funny.
And it's pretty funny. The driving instructor guy or whoever's in the passenger seat grading him is in the car for this car chase and screaming. Uh-huh. And at the end of it says, you'll never drive in this town again.
Yeah. That was funny. That was great.
And once again, they get away. Then back at school, Jeremy finds Darla alone in the band room practicing her saxophone.
Yeah.
She's real like, sultry sax. Yeah.
Very that's a real cool.
Like the 80s and the 90s love the saxophone. Remember Bill Clinton played the saxophone? Lisa Simpson played the saxophone. It was like everywhere.
Yeah, this Darla girl is like, she's really... Like, I feel like today she'd be like a real catch. She's kind of like real hipster, like kind of cool.
She's definitely hot, but they do the kind of she's all that thing where she has glasses and short hair. So it's like Darla. Ralph is like disgusted by her. Like, Darla, ew.
Yeah.
Her hair's not even long.
Yeah. But yeah, he asks her out, right? That's what I mean. He's like, he's a nerd, but he's like incredibly confident. Like, he's like, I would love to take you out. She's like... Okay. Or she kind of was like charmed by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, he goes to pick her up and meets her parents. Darla's dad is, you know, they're all like excited because I don't think Darla gets a lot of dates or whatever.
Her mom, by the way, is Kathy Bates.
What?
Really? Oh, shit.
And it's just for this one scene. And I was, because this, I think, is. Oh, no, it must not have been after Misery, huh? Misery was 90.
Yeah, was she like not a famous big yet? Actor at this point?
Yeah, only
wow,
one
now
scene.
I have to look this up. That's crazy.
It shocked me because, yeah, I didn't even notice her name in the credits. And then I was just like, damn, Kathy Bates.
That is wild.
Yeah, this was early in her career. I don't recognize any of the titles of other things she did prior.
Maybe this is the role that broke her.
Yeah, a bunch of little like one-off parts.
That grind is real.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're like, they're real excited and they make them pose for a photo for her first date. Take some Polaroids of them together before the date. She's so embarrassed. Darla's going, Mom, like, come on, this is I'm mortified. And as they leave to go on the date, the Polaroids develop and he is not in the photos. And they're thinking the camera's broken. They're shaking it like, what the hell?
It's not thinking that he's probably a vampire.
No.
But this is my favorite scene. That pizza looks so good. Damn, I'm hungry. But they're at this pizza place.
Yeah, now I want pizza.
I want pizza too.
He tries to eat the pizza, but he can't because, and he's like, ah! Like he's like, it's almost like the pizza is like attacking him. He's like, ah!
It's so funny.
Darla's like, gets the waiter over He's like, are you sick? Like, and then she goes, Darla goes, I heard you've been sick lately, which is weird that people were talking about that at school. They were like, Jeremy's been sick, but
he has been.
And he's
sick.
Like, I don't know. And then she's like, maybe you're allergic to something. And then she brings over the waiter, and the waiter's like, names everything. She's like, you guys wanted everything, so there's anchovies, everything, and garlic is on it. And he was like, oh, garlic. And he's like, I think Jeremy's like, fuck, I'm really a vampire. But he's still trying to fight it. He's like, damn. He doesn't want to be a vampire, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh shit. This is a metaphor for being in a closet or whatever. I don't know.
Realizing that
it happens
gay.
A lot in vampire movies. I think in True Blood, there's a lot of that subtext as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Of like, fight it all you want, but it just is true. Yeah. And if you embrace it, you can find a way to live your life. Mm-hmm. People will villainize you, but they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That makes me look at this movie differently. Oh, interesting. All right. That was great. Mm-hmm. How nice. Yeah, they just kind of messed up with the gay jokes. But,
yeah, if those were...
I mean, you can't win them all. Like, you know, you can't win it all. But yeah, he's having a great time with Darla. It's a great date. Really, really happy for him. And they are all going to this romantic lookout. And then he sees to the left of them, or to the right of them, is another car with Darla's friend, who's like her hot friend, who's like making out with some guy. And she sees him and she sees Jeremy and Darla over there. And then Jeremy's like, you know, they're having a normal day. Seems pretty, they're like connecting and stuff. And then he says he really likes her. And then he kisses her and they start making out. And then he's like getting real, like his teeth are starting to come out, the fangs. And he's like, I was so scared. I was like, oh no, he's going to bite her. And he was like this close to biting her neck, but was trying to stop himself. And then he just freaks out and like, kicks her out of the car. He's like, I gotta go. He kicks her out of his car and then leaves her there and drives off. And then her friend was like basically he's like, I told you he was an asshole, basically.
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty wild move.
And so he drives home and no, he drives to the butcher shop and he's like ordering he's like, let me get a bucket of ribs and some chicken, but really what he wants is the pig's blood. So he orders all this stuff and then he's like, oh, can I have a pint of like a little quart of pig's blood, make that a pint of pig's blood. And then he's like, I'll just get and then not all the other meat.
Yeah. Actually, I just want that.
And then the butcher is totally down with it. He's like down with vampires, so he's like, hey, it's the first time, isn't it? And then and he's like,
the butcher knows. Yeah, yeah. The butcher's in on it.
Yeah, I love that. He's like helps them. He like supplies blood for them. So then he takes the blood and he goes home and then he takes a sip of it. He takes his finger, dips it, and he's like, not bad. It's not bad at all. And he's like, and then he starts drinking it. And then this is like him basically being like,
embracing it now.
Embracing it. And the music comes on. It's like, things are getting better. And I got to win. Sage. And then he wakes up. He's sleeping under his bed now. Now he's understanding the best way to live as a vampire. And then he wakes. It's like a montage. Basically, he's got a picture of himself on the mirror so he can see like what he kind of looks like. But anyway, he's embracing it. He's cool. He's walking out. His parents are like, is everything okay with you? And he's like, everything is great. And he like winks at his parents as he leaves the door and he walks out. And at some point, MODOK gave him his car, which I forgot that scene. I think we skipped over that scene. But basically, he's like driving off in that guy's Mercedes BMW. And it says Nightman on his license. Hell yeah. Says Nightman. And he drives up.
So he's fully, he's transitioned into the Tom Cruise version of himself now. Yeah. This is where we are. I love it. I love a montage.
At some point, he's like talking to MODOK, probably at the, when he gives him the car or whatever. And I just liked at one point he says that he's really sad about the garlic because he really loves garlic.
I would be sad too. I love garlic. That would be a very upset.
I can't eat garlic because of freaking IBS and I am sad about it. So I really related.
Or you're a vampire.
Maybe I'm a vampire.
Or you're a vampire.
Could be.
But yeah, MODOK tells him, like, you really should be reading this book. You could do some pretty cool shit now. You're a vampire. There's mind control and all this shit. And so Jeremy decides he's going to try to use the mind control to smooth things over with Darla. And so he goes to school and they're doing the marching band practice outside. And he walks up to apologize to her. And she's obviously mad. He left her at the makeout point. And so he's trying to say, like, I'm so sorry, give me another chance. And she's angry and saying no. And so then he puts his fingers to his temple and looks like he's focusing really hard, like he's going to do some mind control. And he says, stop right there. She stops. He says, raise your right hand. And she raises her right hand and he says, when I snap my fingers, you will forgive me and agree to go on a second date with me. And snaps his fingers and she lowers her hand and looks at him and is just like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like she's was playing yeah. along with it.
Yeah. yeah.
She thought it was a joke.
Yeah. And she storms off again. And now he's in even deeper shit. And he goes,
well, he needs to read the book.
Yep. Yeah, he's got to read the book. He doesn't know how to use his powers yet.
Now he tells Ralph, he goes home after school.
Yeah, yeah. Ralph comes in like, and he's like, before he wakes up, the mom is like, can you figure out what's going on with him? Like, there was a man in his room a couple of days ago and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll see what's going on. So he goes.
Sounds like he's having trouble with the ladies.
Yeah, yeah, he's having ladies trouble. Yeah, and then he goes up, and then Jeremy's like, how does he tell him? He just says, I'm a vampire, right?
Yeah, he's like, I have something to tell you. I'm a vampire.
And then he's like, what? And I love this reaction from Ralph. He's like, cool, man. And then Jeremy's like, that's it? He's like, what do you want me to say? And he's like,
does he believe him? Do we think he believes him?
Not initially. And then he starts showing him... they do the reflection in the mirror thing. And he's like, oh, it could just be a trick. I've seen David Copperfield disappear the Statue of Liberty. And then he's like, starts drinking the pig's blood because he has like a refrigerator full of pig's blood now because he's fully stocked up. And he drinks it in front of him. And he's like, okay, it's red, whatever. But then he smells it and he was like, oh shit, that's fucking blood. That's crazy. And then he's like, yo, he's like a real vampire. So Ralph just like leaves. Without saying bye, he just kind of walks out and his mom's like, what'd you find out? Did you find out? And he's like, it's personal. You don't want to know. And then like walks out. Just Ralph is just like losing his mind because his best friend is a vampire. Instead, which is one of that's the weird thing about the title is because it's not really about Ralph. You know?
I know. I thought about that, too. The title in some ways. Yeah. I was a teenage vampire would make more sense as a title. So maybe that's why there's both versions of it. That happened with, Black Christmas too. That had another title. And I think even,
yes,
maybe the Amityville Horror did too. I think this just happens sometimes that it starts with one title and then they change it because of marketing reasons or whatever.
Right.
And, but yeah, it's true. The title, My Best Friend is a Vampire, makes it seem as if the movie is from Ralph's perspective, which it is not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he leaves and then
they go. Ralph goes back to his house. I love that he grabs a scarf and starts really wrapping it around his neck. Like, you're not going to get my blood.
Yeah.
He's protecting his neck. And then Jeremy basically follows him there and flies up to his window now and comes into.
Ooh, he can fly.
Yeah. Wow. He's been reading the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And basically just says, I'm the same person I was. You don't have to be scared of me. We can still be friends. And
oh my God, this is such a metaphor.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely
a metaphor.
It's playing out
becoming clear.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they eventually reach an understanding. Ralph feels less scared and says, all right, well, I know what we should do then. And they go to a club and he says he wants him basically to use his mind control to get Ralph laid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Makes sense. That's the logical conclusion in all of this. Yes.
And then but he's still not that good at it yet. So he keeps doing his mind control, but it's kind of wacky.
Slightly
like
mixing
the
it
wrong
up.
Person. And then
the professor and Grimsdyke are in there.
Yeah, they show up and they're like after them still. And then Jeremy does the mind control on Grimsdyke by mistake, because he's going after the a girl, but the girl moves out the way and it hits Grimsdyke, and then Grimsdyke falls in love with Ralph. he tries to have sex with Ralph, I guess. And then the professor is in there with the full stake, like a crossbow with a stake on it.
It's very funny he's sneakily trying to crossbow people in like a crowded club. Just made me laugh.
Yeah, not a subtle weapon whatsoever.
Yeah, not good for packed spaces either.
No.
So that's when he shoots the thing, or he's about to shoot him, right? And then Grimsdyke tries to stop him because he's in love with Ralph now, and he's like, "My love, Professor." Yeah. So the stake goes into the speaker and it fucks up the music, and then the club owner like throws Grimsdyke. Oh, and then like the professor is such an asshole to Grimsdyke. He's like, He sees this guy coming towards both of them, and the professor's like, "I'm gonna get out of here," and he gives him the crossbow. So they think Grimsdyke did it, and then he just throws Grimsdyke through a window, which is what we saw. It's just crazy how they treat Grimsdyke. He's like, he's just such a sad character.
Mm-hmm. That's horrible.
They get away and they go to a diner, and Jeremy sees Darla there at a table with her friends, and again goes to apologize, just struts right up, sits next to her. Her friend says something like, "You never give up, do you?" And he's like, "No, I really like you, and I'm so sorry, and I really would like you to give me another chance." And she's basically saying, "Yeah, I like you too, but you're just so weird."
He's like, "I promise I won't do anything weird. No more weird stuff." And then meanwhile, Ralph is sitting over there, and Grimsdyke and Professor kidnap Ralph and take him out of the pizza the diner right as he's saying this. And he looks over and he sees him. He's like, "Oh shit, we gotta go." He's like, then he grabs Darla, and then the Darla's friend is like, "Man, don't go with him. He's a loser." And then Jeremy uses his powers, and he uses it to like push Darla's friend back on the couch. And he's finally getting the hang of it, I guess. Mm-hmm, so then it's another car chase.
This is the craziest one of all. There's cars flipping. He drives like on two wheels at one point.
That was like freaking out. She's like, "What is going on?" Like, has no idea what's going on.
He also says that he's like, "They think Ralph is a vampire." And she's like, "Well, that's insane." And he's like, "I know, right? It's crazy because I'm the vampire, not Ralph."
I love how like willing he's just able to, he just tells people like so quickly.
And Darla, you see Darla start to look very scared because now she's in the passenger seat
with a man
who, you know, you would assume is losing their mind, but.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. At some point she sees enough to eventually believe him, but at first she's very scared.
Right.
And while this chase is happening, Jeremy's parents hear about it over the police scanner because they listen in on that and can hear, I guess, maybe the license plate or something that they had seen earlier.
Yeah, Nightman. Nightman, that's our son.
Easy to remember.
And then so they get their car. But they, you know, they're genuinely, sincerely concerned. They're just like, "We got to go help our son," you know. So they go out and they drive up to go find them. And then Jeremy's just driving out of control. He's like, he's on like two, the wheels are on, the car is like literally flipped on its side. And it just like hits a ramp and it flips over. It's the craziest crash I ever seen. Like they definitely should have died.
Yeah, and then, completely unharmed.
And then the cops. Also, it was at this moment that I realized they were in Houston, which I didn't realize. And I was like,
Oh, this is cool.
It's like a cool location for a vampire movie.
Yeah.
And then the cops pull them out of the car. And then he's like, "We got to stop them. They're going to kill my friend, Ralph. He's they think he's a vampire. I'm the vampire." Like he said the exact same thing. And then the cops are like, "Oh man, we got another vampire hunter situation." And then they're like, "Just sit right here."
Oh, so they know. They're aware.
They were like fucking with them. And then they put him in the cop car. And then they're like, "Just sit right here." And then he's like, they just don't help him at all.
Yeah. They're like, "You need to sober up."
Yep.
He's like sitting there and he's like, Jeremy's so defeated, worried about his best friend, you know? And like, it should have been called, "My best friend is being chased by vampire hunters."
better title.
My best friend is not a vampire.
Yeah.
I'm the vampire. My best friend isn't. There's been a mix up.
And then Darla's like, "Fuck it, let's go." She jumps into the car, into the in the driver's seat of the cop car, turns it on. And then Jeremy's like, holy shit, I can't believe you're doing this. And then Dahl is like, oh, you don't even know what I'm capable of. And like turns the car off, and then they can start riding and driving and taking off after the professor and Grimsdyke.
Nice.
They find him at the professor and Grimsdyke have taken Ralph to a church and tie him to a table thing, slab looking thing, some sort of sacrificial thing.
Right.
And have a wooden stake, and they're planning to stab him through the heart.
Wow. And I'm also sorry, now I'm just getting the like church metaphor part of like homophobia of like you need to see God, like God is, you know, oh, yeah, gosh. Well,
yeah, I really recommend you guys should check this movie out. It's great.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I think as a kid I watched it, I felt like, you know, it definitely was, I was connected to like the idea of just feeling different or whatever. It may be every landed.
Yeah, and there's people who are nice to you because of it or not so much.
But so they pull up in there. Jeremy and Darla are in there, but they have no idea that Jeremy's the vampire. Like they just think they're his friends, and they're like, "Stop what you're doing! You're gonna kill him!" And then the professor's like, "Don't worry, he's a blood sucking monster. Like we got this." So then he's like, he's about to do it, and he's like, Jeremy's like, what evidence do you have that this guy's a vampire? And then he's like, well, he starts going through all his tools, and he pulls out garlic and pulls out and he's like, if I put this stake through his heart, then he'll die. But he's like, that would kill anybody.
Not the best way to test
and
it.
He's like, and then the professor is kind of coming along, and he realizes like, oh yeah, I guess there's no evidence. And then he's like, Grimsdyke, he blames it all on Grimsdyke. He's like, you fucked up, Grimsdyke. And then I hate the way he treats Grimsdyke. It's just awful. It's a terrible toxic relationship. Like he's definitely a terrible boss. So then Ralph has the garlic on his neck, and they let Ralph go. But then Ralph, he's like, man, you guys aren't going to apologize for this. What a bunch of assholes. So then, but he like walks away, and he's looking at Jeremy like, ooh, that was good. That was slick. And then he gives him a hug. And then Jeremy's like, ah, like this was the first time I think the way they did the garlic to me is like, gave me a real sense of like what the garlic probably feels like. It like, almost like it burns or something, almost like it burning them.
Mm-hmm.
So then the professor's like, realizes that's the real vampire. We're going after him.
Oh, and then, no.
They're in this like graveyard running after each other. And the professor has his gun with the silver bullets in it. And then Jeremy's just hella confident right now. He's just a completely different person. He really is a vampire at this point. And he's like, dude, you think I'm gonna let you kill me? I'm a vampire. He's like, and then he like grabs him. Like he's just like fully becoming a vampire, like kind of like tough and stuff. And he's like, grabs his professor, and the professor drops his stake and everything. And he looks at him, and he's like, I'm trying to let you go. I don't want to hurt you. I'm a good person. And the professor just won't let up. He still wants to hurt him. And he's like, I don't care. We still need to kill you. And then MODOK pulls up, right? Is that when MODOK pulls up?
Nora pulls up.
Oh, Nora comes. That's right. Yeah.
Nora.
She's not dead. She came back from the dead.
Nora's back, bitch.
Nora's like, yo, kill that motherfucker. That's what happened. Okay, yeah. So he's like trying to let him go. And then Nora's like, fuck that, kill him, right? And then he's like, I don't want to kill him. And then he lets him go. You know, he lets the professor down, and then they give the speech like, we're not all bad, you know, we're really good people.
Think MODOK does show up at this point too. Yeah. Like MODOK and Nora are like the two different sides of, well, I mean, Nora doesn't seem like a bad person either, but she's just pissed because they killed her.
Like she was more like mad.
But she's just like, fuck this guy. Yeah.
But she didn't seem like she was on like some like evil vampire shit, because it seemed like that was a good question.
She just wants a little revenge.
Yeah, just like, fuck this guy. And then, but then even after they let him go, the professor still won't let up, and he grabs this gun with the silver bullets and tries to shoot MODOK, but it's not hitting him because it's not doing anything to MODOK. And then MODOK is like, MODOK has like a gaggle of like young, beautiful women with him.
Yeah, like all the sexy vampires come out from the like running around bushes. Like,
It's kind of reminded me of that scene, that comedy bit. It's Family Guy where it's like, we're having a sexy party. And then like everyone runs around. Like, it kind of reminded me of that. and then Ralph is like, whoa, this is getting interesting. He sees all the hot girls. And he's like, ooh, nice. So then they basically, just to wrap things up, they take the professor with them and they're like, what are you going to do to him? And then MODOK is basically like, what better way to get rid of an enemy than to make him an ally? And then they basically turn professor into a vampire, and he comes back like swagged out, and he's like, I feel great. I feel like a 30 years younger. And Grimsdyke is like, professor, what's happening? And then Grimsdyke is like, I don't know. He's like, he just freaks out and runs off. And then, yeah, and then there's like a happy ending. Like they're all friends and right. They're not missing anything.
Yeah. Jeremy says, how come you didn't die from the silver bullets? And MODOK says, you know, again, you're not reading the book.
Oh yeah. That's for werewolves. Yeah. But then, here comes the most homophobic. They just end the movie with this. It was ridiculous.
Okay.
Like, this movie just undercuts the entire message. Cause so basically the parents show up. And they're like, oh my God, thank God you're all right. And they see Jeremy and they like, oh, before that, MODOK says goodbye to Jeremy. And he's asked Jeremy, he goes, you know, you want to come with us? You can hang out with us. We're cool. And we hang out with your kind or whatever. And then he's like, Jeremy's like, no, I think I got homework tomorrow, or I got school tomorrow, basically. So he's like, I want to be a kid. And they all run off and turn into wolves as they walk off, run off into the night. So then the parents show up after that and they're like, oh my God, thank God you're okay. And then Jeremy's like, I'd like to introduce you to my girlfriend, or, you know, Darla. And then they're like, oh, so this is your girlfriend? And they're like, so relieved that he's like, not gay. And then it's the last scene of the movie. God. And they're just like, thank God. And then just like,
happy ending.
Literally the last thing that happens in the scene where they're just like,
oh my
we're
God.
So happy about this. And I was like, it just was insane, like, to end the movie that way. One is just from a writing perspective, it's like, it was completely off story. Like, I don't know why you would end the movie on like a sub game. It was like a sub game that they ended the movie on that plan. But anyway, everything up into that moment, I was like, this is great.
It is a bummer of an ending.
It's so weird. Like, and it ends so abruptly too. It's like, yeah, he's not gay. It was just like, okay. Like, what is this?
Wow.
Honestly, besides all the homophobia, it does sound like a fun movie, and definitely something that would have been fun to like be a kid and for it to be on TV, like what you're saying. 100%.
Yeah, especially watching it, not knowing anything about it. I never saw a trailer. I just like was watching it in real time. It was like, and also that guy who plays the professor is a really great actor. I can't think of his name right now, but he was in Ninja Turtles.
David Warner.
Yeah, he's in it. He always plays professors, but he's super good and funny and great.
I wonder if there's a way. I bet you could just edit out all the homophobia, because it's just like a sprinkle of scenes.
Yeah, it's like side moments
matter. I wonder if you could just cut those out.
They literally could rewrite this whole movie and just do a different bit. Like, they think he's like, works for the CIA, whatever. They just needed something for the parents to think was, you know, was going on. It could have been anything, but they just decided, there's a man in his room. He must be dead. But it could have been anything. Like, he's working for the FBI. I don't know.
That actor's in The Omen.
Yes.
Oh. David Warner's in The Omen.
Wait, so did you guys watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Is anyone into that here?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, but I should.
It was scary. I think there's a couple episodes that I even were too scary for me. The one with the silent men that just smile. Oh my God, that episode fucked me up.
Ew.
That's terrifying. Awful. I wonder if that's the plot to Smile. Wow. The horror movie coming out soon.
Oh yeah.
I think this episode was called The Gentleman.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that Smile movie looks creepy.
I know.
I don't like it. I don't like the looks of it.
I'm not going to watch it. Are you guys going to watch Nope? Have you seen Nope yet?
Yeah, we're going to do Nope.
We're going to.
Watch any of those. I like Jordan Peele's. His movies aren't too scary.
Yeah, I like am scared while I watch that. I mean, I actually didn't see Us. I only saw Get Out, and I will see Nope. But I want to see it enough that I will sit through being scared, but I know that it will still scare me.
Yeah. I just got to make sure I watch it during the daytime. Like, I'm definitely one of those people who like covers their eyes. Like,
Me too.
Oh, big time.
Me too.
I do. I just like look down at the ground and so I can like sort of see the movement happening, but I'm not looking at it.
My sister gave me the one trick. She's because she don't like scary movies either. She closes her ears.
I was going to say, that's what I do.
That's what does it. Yeah.
Yes. The ears. The key is the ears.
For me, it's sound.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, this was so fun. I'm very glad, knowing how much you don't like scary movies, that you were able to find a movie that you liked that you were able to tell us about, because this was a great time.
Yeah, there was this other movie I saw that I was thinking that was pretty scary, but my friend Kevin, he loves it. You guys should have him on the show, actually. He loves scary movies, but he took me to see this movie at the Beverly Theater that was like this old, like 90s black, kind of almost like black exploitation scary movie. I forgot what it was called.
Ooh.
It was called Fight Temptation. It was like Temptation, but it was very hilarious. Mm. But that was also pretty scary though. Like, basically it was about like this woman who like seduced men, and then she was like the devil basically. But like, that was like scary, but also I was choosing between those two, but I was like, I don't want to watch anything scary.
I know.
Yeah, like, let's do something fun.
This is perfect. This is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lamar.
Thank you for being here.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me.
Lamar, what would you like to plug, promote for listeners? Where can they find you? What should they check out? You've got just so much wonderful stuff.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, you can follow me on Instagram at Prof Matic. So that's P-R-O-P-H Matic. And I'm Grant Cruz out right now. You can watch it on Hulu. I have a podcast with one of the stars of Grant Crew called Gossip Kings that they mentioned earlier. It's on HeadGum as well. Very fun show that you can just watch Gossip Girl along with me and him, and we talk about it.
Hell yeah. Perfect idea.
And then I also have a music career that I'm trying out right now. You can just look up Lamar Woods on Spotify, Apple Music, and you'll see all my music there, and check it out. It's fun. And that's it for me. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So stay in touch with me. I'm out here. I'm hanging out.
Maybe I'll try listening to some of your music while I'm running.
Oh, yeah. You need to.
I know. Helen needs help.
My music is very good exercise music. It's more walking music. If you're taking a walk.
I love to walk.
I'm a walker, not a runner.
Yep, same.
I'm a walker, not a runner. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Lamar. Sammy, do we have any voices to end this on?
I don't think there's really any voices. There's the bad 80s acting voice. Mm. I feel like Darla's performance is pretty wild in this. So she's just kind of yelling the whole, like, oh my God.
So it is funny. The 80s acting voice is also like so deeply white American, for lack of a better term, where it's like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. happening.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. So I guess I'll try to do that.
Okay.
So from all of us here at Too Scary, didn't watch.
That's good.
Goodbye.
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 Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary, Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right. We love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.